And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Congratulations to Adam Cordoza. Trey Wingo was the correct answer. He's qualified to win that trip out to Connecticut. So congratulations to Adam Cordoza. So I am convinced, Floyd Reese, there was something I did not like when it happened. And everybody was like, oh, Jared, you're being too much of a crybaby. You're being too sensitive. Get over yourself. And it was last year. The Titans had clinched their first playoff spot in a decade. And Jarrell Casey came out and ripped Blake Bortles. Basically said he was a bum, which we all know. But he said Bortles was a bum. And Kevin Byard then said before the Patriot playoff game, we need to make Tom Brady look like Blake Bortles. And they're just talking trash about Bortles. And I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. And here's why. Here's the number one reason why I hate it. Blake Bortles has probably been thinking about that all week. And they've probably been talking about it all week. And that is legit bulletin board material. And that is legit serious stuff. And that is legit. I worry that they're not going to have a Patriots hangover win because at the end of the day, they won't have their Patriots hangover win because they'll be motivated for this game because A, you beat them twice last year, and B, because of all the trash talking the Titans did last year. And this is the example of why even after you win and you're not going to play somebody for a while, you don't do any trash talking. The Steelers trash talk. You're not the Steelers. Don't do it. And I think this is an example. Bortles was asked about Casey's comments last year. This was Blake Bortles this week before this game.
Guys have criticized you before, but is there anything extra in this for you because of maybe what Casey said last year?
No. I mean, it's just another chance. And, you know, like we just talked about, a chance to, you know, start off the season 1-0 in the division. I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a good player. And he's somebody that, you know, we have to game plan for. And I think everybody that they play has to, you know, make sure you know where 99 is and try and get as much help on him as you can.
Do you remember what you said?
I don't know.
No. So you did. You literally flushed it like you.
Yeah. I don't really care what he says. You know, I think he's a good player, so we'll see.
First thing was a great answer. Second thing, Blake, yeah, something about how I'm a choker when the game. I don't know what he's talking about. Blake knows what he said, and he's been thinking about it all week, and that's why you don't talk trash.
Well, I think what happens is it's not – I mean, the talking to trash is part of it, but, I mean, he and the other players will look at that as disrespect. And you can do a lot of things and say a lot of things, and you can mess around, and you can – but, I mean, in the NFL, if there's anybody that ever thinks that you disrespect them, I mean, it gets real serious real fast. And I think that's probably the case. And I think that's probably not just the case for him, but for a bunch of those guys.
Remember Malik Jackson last year after they won the playoff game?
Yeah.
And Malik Jackson was saying, you know, how about Jarrell Casey, who's sitting at home watching us in the AFC Championship?
Yeah, there'll be a bunch of that kind of stuff. And so, I'm sure they're using it as bulletin board material. You know, what difference will it make? I don't know. You know, maybe the win last week kind of blows that away a little bit. I don't know, but it'll be interesting. And I agree with you. I mean, all that bulletin board material. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you say that about another guy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, especially when you know you're going to have to play him twice a year for the next X number of years.
Right, like Brian Kelly taking that pot shot at Vandy and then Derek Mason firing back the other day. Yeah, that's just talk because those two will never coach against each other for the foreseeable future. And so, like, that's just, you know, a bunch of garbage. That's, you knew you were going to play him again. Like, you, when you talked the trash last year, you knew you were going to play him again.
Oh, yeah.
And Jarrell Casey, now I'll say that I think Jarrell Casey's a good guy from everything that I have. Every time I've been around him and everything you hear about him in the community and all of that, and he's clearly a team leader, and Vrabel loves him. And so did Malarkey. I mean, and so did – he's the one guy who Munchak, Wisenhunt, Malarkey, and Vrabel all love. So everybody loves him. So I'm not taking anything away from him. But it was just stupid. It was so dumb. It was like, what are you doing, Jarrell? Don't do that. Don't talk the trash. Don't do it. And he went and did it, and now it gets brought back up again. And I think if the Titans hadn't beaten the Jags twice last year, and if they didn't talk the trash about Bortles, I think you would have had like a New England hangover game where they go out there thinking, who gives a rat's tail about the Titans? We just beat the New England Patriots. Screw the Titans. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But they're not going to do that because they're thinking, you know, hey, we can't overlook the Titans because last year they beat our butts. And
twice.
Remember what they said?
Yeah.
Remember what they said last year? And that's why I hate that. Now, the one little caveat to this is, I'll tell you who I don't think's ever going to put up with something like that ever again. Vrabel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Vrabel wasn't like the coach that last year when Casey said that. I'm telling you right now, Vrabel is not putting up with that. That is the most un-Vrabel thing you could do, is give the other team's quarterback and the other team around him like bulletin board material, and especially the quarterback, because I think everybody on that Jags team, and I don't cover the Jags every day, but I think they like Blake. And they want Blake to do well. Now, I don't think they believe in Blake, but I think they want to believe in Blake, and they want Blake to do well. So they, as a team, want to stick it to the Titans for talking bad about Blake.
Yeah, I think they respect Blake. I think they respect some of the things he does. Now, how good is he in their minds? I'm not sure. But after a game like the New England game, you know, you wonder, now, does all that change? I don't know. But I don't think there's any doubt but that they like him and respect him, and, you know, they want him to play well. I think they also realize that, you know, probably the best thing for the team is for him to not throw the ball 45 times, but to throw the ball 25 times and see what we can get out of that.
Well, that's the job of the coach. You know, I mean, that's the
– right.
I'll say this. You know what I did wonder about the other day? So on the Sunday Night Football – pregame show, they had their winners of the week or whatever, or players of the week or whatever it is, and Tony Dungy went with Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator of the Jags, and I think Nathaniel Hackett does a great job because a lot of these throws Blake makes, the guys are wide open. So that's the coaching getting them wide open. I think Nathaniel Hackett's a great offensive coordinator. But what gets you noticed as an offensive coordinator in the NFL to get a head coaching job?
Yeah, 377 yards.
Throwing the ball.
Yep.
And so if you're Nathaniel Hackett, are you looking at this like, man, if I turn him into a good passer, get him good stats, I'll name my job.
If he turns him into a big-time quarterback, he will pretty much name his job.
And so if you're Nathaniel Hackett, or do you try to force the issue and make that happen, or do you try to do what's best for the Jags to win? And I think, you know, consciously he would say do what's best for the Jags to win, but I think subconsciously the idea of, man, if I turn Bortles around, I'm the greatest offensive coordinator who ever lived. And so maybe they will do some of that. I'm just saying the trash talk. This is the time right now where we all need to come together and go back to January or whenever Casey and Byard said what they said, and we need to talk to them then and say, see why you don't do that? Do you see why you don't do that? I love Bortles' answer when it was like, do you remember what he said? Yeah, he said something along the line. Actually, you know what? I don't remember what he said. I knew you'd love that one.
He didn't want to get in that whole discussion.
He knew that the second that he does that, then the whole thing is, oh, yeah, they're still in your head, Blake, from when they were talking 8 months ago and 9 months ago. And the cool thing to do, that's like whenever you meet like a coach whose rear end you've ripped a couple of times or something like that. And it's like they act like they never listened to the show, like they have no idea who you are. Like, oh, yeah, who are you? Whatever, you're Jared Stillman, you're whatever. Then you find out, yeah, that dude, like, sits by the radio and listens and yells and's like, Stillman doesn't know anything. And, like, apparently that tends to happen a lot. I think Casey and Byard are both, they seem like good people, and they're both great players. Just don't talk trash about anybody that you may ever play again. Because this is what's going to happen. And I do think that this is a showdown game to the Jags. This is a big deal to the Jags. And the trash talk was a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. And while everybody in January was like, who cares, Jared? It's not a big deal. On September 20th, I think it is a big deal. So let's take your calls. 615-737-1025. Do you think it plays a role at all? the Casey and Byard trash talk last year about Blake Bortles, and how do you feel about it now that Blake's lighting it up? Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Dakota is up next on the trash talk. What's up, Dakota?
What's up, guys? I don't agree with trash talking by any means, but as long as he goes out there and backs it up, I don't have a problem with it. If he goes out there, and he's probably thinking in the back of his mind, well, Casey and Kevin Meyer both, hey, we talked crap last year, we've got to back it up. We're going to know that he's going to be looking to redeem himself against it. That's my opinion. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so now I think that's a good take, because is there like an added amount of pressure on Casey and Byard for talking bad about Bortles and then going into this game?
Sure.
If those two light it up because of that, because they don't want to get embarrassed for that, then I'm cool with it. Then sure, yeah, whatever, but I just think that you're more likely for that to not happen.
Well, I mean, I would agree. And I think they're going to try to back it up. The problem is they'll be the only two. When you criticize your quarterback and on most teams, I mean, you're criticizing the offensive line, you're criticizing the running back, you're criticizing everybody, and they take it to heart because it's the quarterback. And so now it kind of turns into a team thing where, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to show them we can do whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, like when Pecorine poops his pants in the playoffs, and after the game's over, Ryan Ellis is talking about, we stunk and we did let Pekka down, and P.K. Subban is getting mad at the media for getting on Pekka. Like, the goalie, the quarterback, that's the same thing, man. Like, if you get on the quarterback, you're getting on all of us. And I, again, that's why I don't like it. I mean, just imagine if they had gotten on Marcus.
Sure.
You know, those guys would take a bullet for Marcus now.
Yeah.
Let's take more of your phone. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale, Inc. and Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM, plus some other things the Jags have said about this game. And it worries me a little bit that Jacksonville is all in on this Titans game. Let's get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app.
Guys have criticized you before, but is there anything extra in this for you because of maybe what Casey said last year?
No, I mean, it's just another chance, and, you know, like we just talked about, a chance to, you know, start off the season 1-0 in the division. I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a good player, and he's somebody that, you know, we have to game plan for, and I think everybody that they play has to, you know, make sure you know where 99 is and try and get as much help on him as you can.
Do you remember what he said?
I don't know.
No. So you did. You literally flushed it like you.
Yeah. I don't really care what he says. You know, I think he's a good player, so we'll see.
I love your reaction to that.
That was great.
Blake Bortles.
Remember what he said? Yeah.
No.
Nah.
Yes, he remembers what he said.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Great first answer by Blake there, by the way.
He didn't want to get into all that stuff, you could tell.
But you better be careful about disrespecting Blake Bortles, because Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL said that the Patriots disrespected Blake Bortles last week.
I was watching this game very closely, and for the New England Patriots to disrespect him the way they did, playing cover zero as many times as they did, there was something that Blake Bortles took from Tom Brady's playbook. What is that? Get your running backs involved in the game. You talked about the front seven being exposed. One of the things about the exposure of the front seven was the running back matchup. The Jacksonville Jaguars running backs against the New England Patriots linebackers, that's a mismatch all day.
And this was out without Fournette.
And this was out Fournette. And they had so now you come back, you bring Fournette back, you have a three-headed monster.
So what do you think of the disrespect the Patriots played Blake Bortles by playing cover zero? Is that an actual disrespect thing that Ray was talking about there?
Well, cover zero means you have no free safety. Everybody's man for man across the board. And generally speaking, you don't play that against anybody that's scary unless you absolutely know you're going to get the pressure. Now, if you do that and you're not sure about the pressure, then you leave yourself pretty wide open. And you hope that, you know, us and them both are going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback without having to do that. Because you really don't want to do that. But I mean, Yeldon, I think I'm concerned about in man-for-man versus man-for-man on the linebackers. But I think that's about it for me.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Fournette in the back.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
anybody. I'm worried about Safarian Jenkins, though, the tight end.
Tight end's good. I mean, I like the tight end.
He is, when they signed Julius Thomas to that big contract, that is what they wanted. They want what they have now out of Seferian Jenkins is what they wanted.
Right.
Julius Thomas was softer than a can of Cool Whip. Let's go to your phones. Don is up next on the Titans and the Jags. What's up, Don?
Hey, I'm Don from Spring Hill. I'm a teacher at Centennial High School, and I have no clue about football. I'm really not an expert. You guys are the experts. But what I've seen so far in the last two years, is that Blaine Bortles can throw the ball, and Mariota can't. I mean, it's a duck, and everybody in the stadium knows who's getting the ball when Mariota throws it. I've not seen anything different from that. And Blake Bortles throws the ball. He gets it to he can get it to a guy, and he knows how to hit a target. And I think you guys are disrespecting him. You've not given him credit for winning this game. You're saying, oh, he's never going to work. Well, maybe he's changed. You know, sometimes people can change. They can get better. And give the guy a break.
Thank you for your call, Don. Are we disrespecting Bortles?
He's I know what he's saying. He's saying after the game this weekend, you're not. And right. I understand that. But I think we've known him for however many, one short of where he is now. 4 years we've known him. We've played him twice a year, every year for 4 years. So
I mean, I don't remember a lot from New Year's Eve, but I do remember Blake Bortles, 15 of 34, 158, and two interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a pretty good feel for Blake, and that's why we're, you know, we probably look at it a little bit differently than most, because it's the game that you saw this weekend, which was an outstanding game. I mean, we don't want to take anything away from him for all of that. I mean, he was super. But that's historically not been the way that he has played. And that's, and I don't mean that as disrespectful as much as it's kind of fact. And I think you can probably go back and look at the numbers and see that that most of the games against us we've had success with. And part of the success has been him throwing us a ball.
Tyreekus is up next on the Trash Talking. What's up, Tyreekus?
What's up, man? Listen, I want to say, man, football is not the same, man. You can't tackle like you want to tackle. You barely can touch the quarterback. You can't tackle below the waist. You can't pick them up. It's like all we got left from football is trash talk, and I love it. Like, I love how Jalen Ramsey run his mouth. Like, I love it, man. It just makes me want to watch everybody he go up against. I'm a diehard Titans fan, but for me to hear him talk about the Titans or for them to talk about the Titans, it makes me want to go down there. Where is it? Is the game down there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear trash talk, it makes me want to go to the game. Like, I really think trash talk sells tickets. Like, it's something about knowing that somebody's on your team is putting his back on the line for the team. It's just, that's all I wanted to say, man.
Hey, Tyreekus, did you get all your money?
Yeah, nah, not yet. Not yet.
All right. Appreciate the call, Tyreekus. I would say the trash talking probably does like it. I mean, honestly, it's good for our business because it's something that people like want to talk about and people are watching. And you know that the F team crew that we get from CBS is going to say something like, and remember last December, Jarrell Casey with some harsh words of criticism for Blake Bortles and all of that. But I'm not sure it helps you win. And I'm talking about winning. You know what I mean?
Tyreek is just funny. He, I mean, you can't tackle him. You can't lift him off the ground. You can't do but he wants to hear the trash talking. Okay.
There you go.
Go for it.
Ellie is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Ellie?
I got a couple of points. Number one, Blake Bortles knocked us out of the playoffs 2 years ago. You should never, ever forget that.
That was actually not a bad game by him. I will give you that.
The second thing is there is no way Marcus is playing this weekend. And we are looking at two great defenses who are going up against offenses. If we have less turnovers than them, make less mistakes, I think we have a good chance of winning.
I think, Floyd, I would agree with that. I appreciate your call. I actually agree with that total call. I mean, my thing is, you know, you have to make less mistakes than them. There's very few teams in the league that you can make more mistakes than and beat. You know, like maybe Cleveland, but Buffalo. But, like, you have to. I mean, if you make more mistakes than the Jags, you lose. It's as simple as me that. You know, if you get penalized more and you turn the ball over more, see ya.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason you won the other game was the penalties against the Texans.
I mean, I think we have to keep in mind that, you know, if you look across the board, they're a little bit more talented team than we are right now.
A little bit.
Even though we're making giant strides. And so I think When you go into a game like this, you have to be error-free. You know, you can't afford turnovers. You can't afford many penalties. All the things we talk about all the time. And you have to hope that they do some of that, just like Houston did this weekend, helped us with some of those penalties. You have to hope you get some more of those penalties. You have to hope you get some turnovers, two or three of them.
Well, in Houston, I mean, so my dad was watching the game. He was out of town, watching the game in a place where there was no sound on the TV. And so he was watching the game, saw the penalty, but didn't know that Clowney was the one who got the penalty and that Clowney was out of the game and got the penalty. And he was like, "What an idiot." And I'm like, "I know." Like, on the sidelines, Clowney just... I mean, Jacksonville's not going to do that, I don't think.
No, you know,
get
I hope
that
not.
Stupid Clowney penalty. I hope they do.
Fowler may do it. Or is that his name?
Yeah.
Fowler,
yeah. But he's going to play.
He's capable
a little
of that.
Yeah. No. And Jalen Ramsey's a hothead. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a total cuckoo bird who just happens to be good at football. But and so they are capable of doing that. But I'm talking about a guy who's not even dressed getting a penalty and like it benefiting you. Like, that is so unheard of. Like, it's not going to happen again. Yeah. More of your calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, plus an update on Marcus and debunking one of the Marcus myths. We'll get to that coming up next. Catch us on Monday from 2 to 6 at Twice Daily's, located at Twice Daily, located on Charlotte and 22nd Avenue in Nashville. We'll have your chance to win the ultimate tailgate prize pack and a pair of tickets next Sunday's big home game against the champs at Nissan Stadium. See details in-store or at thegamenashville.com. Don't leave without snapping a picture and tweeting it to hashtag TheGameKickoff for your chance to win. We're giving away tickets to see the champs in town. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and like always, streaming on the Game National app.
You know, I would say that Marcus is actually better. Felt like he threw the ball better today, so that's positive. It's moving in the right direction, and then we'll just see where it's at tomorrow.
He take more of the load today than he did?
I would say probably, yeah, more. I think he probably had close to the majority of them.
Mike Vrabel with an update on Mariota. That sounds good that he took more reps than he did yesterday. But I will not believe it until I see him on the football field. I will not believe that Mariota is the starting quarterback of the Titans until he is the starting quarterback of the Titans. But I do think there is a Marcus myth out there, and that is surrounding his toughness or his desire. Now, do I think Marcus is injury prone? It's hard for me not to say yes at this point. Like, do you think Marcus is injury prone?
I can't say that yet, but we are getting closer. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Right. But I'm not going to question his toughness, because every time his teammates get asked about him, and this is debunking the Marcus myth, they always talk about his passion, his energy, his desire. We asked Derrick Henry today earlier on the show, Titans running back, we asked Derrick Henry how hard Marcus is working to come back from his injury. This is what Derrick Henry said today.
He's been working very hard, you know, and Marcus is not the type of guy who's going to express how he feels by just talking, you know, and, you know, just saying like that. He's a quiet guy, but you can just tell, you know, that he wants to be out there. It's killed him that he's not out there. And, you know, what happened to him with his hands is just unfortunate. But he's working very, very, very hard to get back out there. And I can tell it's killing him because he wants to be out there so bad and, you know, be with us. But, you know, it's a process. You know, it takes time. So, you know, he's been working hard, though.
When guys in the locker room say that about your effort to get back out on the field, A, what do you think that means as far as Marcus and the rest of the team with him and his injuries? But, two, I think it totally debunks the myth that Mariota doesn't have the passion. Like, we had a caller call in earlier today that was like, does he really have the fire? Does Marcus really? And I think when you hear Derrick Henry talk about how hard Marcus is working, completely debunks that myth.
Well, it's always I always thought it was interesting because a guy like Derrick doesn't understand what it means to be hurt a lot. Because he's a big, strong, powerful guy. And he can go out. He was like Eddie George was. You know, they just go out there every day and they just keep pounding and that's what they do. So when it comes to somebody else's injuries, they're not as familiar with it. So they watch him. You know, how you doing? How are things going? Are you getting better? And when you hear guys like Derrick say, oh, yeah, he's working. You heard him. He emphasized very hard. then that means he's working his butt off. And I think Derek looks at that and respects that. He doesn't think of himself of, you know, why aren't you as tough as I am? I think he's just looking at it and saying, you know what? It was unfortunate you got this thing, but look at how hard he's working to get this thing right. So, I don't think I ever doubted that. The locker room supports him 1,000%. I have never doubted. You know, I've learned to never question somebody's toughness in the NFL because there's no such thing as somebody that's not tough that is surviving the NFL. And so I think you look at it and you say to yourself, hey, they're on his side. So whether he talks about it a lot or not, he's certainly doing the right thing to earn their respect.
Well, I think with Marcus, the thing that I never question with Marcus is, A, I never question his work ethic. I've never questioned his desire. You know, I know that he's quiet, and you heard Derek say it right there. You know, he's quiet, but his actions are, I've never questioned Mariota's desire to be good, ever. Never, because I feel like he has that desire. I've never questioned his love of football. Because everybody that's in that facility talks about how Marcus is first one in, last one to leave, and that's how Marcus operates and all of that. I don't question any of that. I've never questioned any of that. My thing with Marcus is he good enough? You know, two things. Is he good enough and can he stay healthy? And I think he is going to be good enough. And the can he stay healthy, that is, you know, some guys are just cursed. And I hope Marcus isn't cursed. But
well, we were talking about this yesterday with Ryan, and the fact is you never really get the chance to be good enough if you're hurt all the time. And so what happens is you end up with a Blaine Gabbert. You know, you end up with a guy that for whatever reason just couldn't get there long enough, stay there long enough, have the opportunities to where you could really show your stuff, and consequently you end up bouncing around the league and you have – you know, the worst thing that happens to you in the NFL, and you've heard me say this before, is to get labeled. Because once you're labeled, that's who you are. Because you just don't know everybody in the league. And because you don't know everybody in the league, you know about everybody in the league.
Right, like Josh Gordon.
Yeah. You know, you say, I've never met Josh Gordon in my life, but, you know, I've got an opinion about Josh Gordon.
Like if you were a GM and it was like, Floyd, would you want to get Josh Gordon on your team?
Yeah, I mean, it's no thank you. I'll pass.
And, Le'Veon and Bell?
And he might be the world's nicest guy. But what I know of him from his reputation, he's not somebody I want to be around. And so, you know, I think that's the problem is you get these labels. And whether they're right or wrong, you don't ever get the opportunity to debunk them because you're already labeled. And you don't want to get labeled as injury prone. That's something that you just, it's hard to shake.
What is he, like one more injury away from being injury prone?
I think it always.
If he comes back and sprains his ankle, you know, I mean, at that point, is it like, you are what you are?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the thing you can't have happen is you can't get back and play a week or two and then go through another one of those pulled hamstrings where now you're missing 6 weeks or something. You know, then people just go, that's it. You know, I'm done.
Along those lines, Bobby on Twitter says, question, if Gabbert starts and the Titans win against the Jags, is he your starter for the rest of the year?
Yeah,
Floyd has zero belief in Blaine Gabbert winning on Sunday.
That's so speculative that, I mean, I can't.
Floyd thinks there's no way that Blaine Gabbert wins against the Jags. I am convinced of that. Now, Floyd will say, well, I always think there's a chance, but it's going to be hard. You can say that. But I believe you do not believe any chance for Gabbert if he's the quarterback.
I think it'd be tough.
So we'll take your calls. And, again, the kind of question that I have here is, like, to me, when Derrick Henry goes out of his way to say how hard Marcus is working to come back from his injury, to me, that takes away any question of whether or not Marcus has the desire to be out there or the work ethic to be out there or whether or not, you know, he's trying to get back out there. The problem is just the actual physics of it and the big question being whether or not he's any good. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Ramal on Twitter. It's a contract year. Every player's got the passion on a contract year.
Sure. I mean, you're talking about, in his case, a lot of money.
The one thing, though, with Marcus is nobody has ever walked out of that facility, not Eric Decker, not DeMarco Murray, nobody has walked out of that facility and said, you know, Marcus is a bum. Marcus is a bad guy. Marcus is lazy. You have not heard that from one person
right. Who
has left the Titans organization. And I think that's because Marcus is all the things you want in a quarterback. You just want him to be available more often.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's impossible to prove that you're a franchise quarterback if you can't stay healthy. That's the bottom line.
Let's go to your phones. Tino is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Tino?
What's going on, man? I've been sitting here listening to you, Hater Jay, talk about not talking trash. And who in this world talks more trash than Jared Steele? I mean, how many coaches have you got on the hot seat, man? How many players have you have ignored you because you don't talk trash about them on the radio, man? Come on, Jared.
Tino, I need to get a haircut. Can I come see you?
Huh?
I need to get a haircut.
Yeah, come on. I mean, got to shave, remember? So, come on, I got you.
I mean, I'll say this. So Tino is one of our best callers when I was on the air in Louisville. One of the best.
Really?
Tino, I think you'll be surprised tonight. I'm not the MC, but I'm like in the event with all the coaches, the local basketball coaches here in town.
Oh, my gosh.
I am like literally there like with all the local basketball coaches. We fight to end cancer, Tino, but I just wanted you to know that maybe I'm a little bit softer now.
What? Man, I don't like that. I don't like you being soft. I love it when you talk trash. I mean, but you can't say don't talk trash when you're the king of trash talking.
Right, but I back it up.
Yes, you do back it up.
Thank you.
In football, in basketball. I don't know why you're going to this basketball thing because you know nothing about basketball. But you're a football guru. You're a football guru. Hey, one more thing before I know you got to let me go. But the thing about Marcus Mariota, man, his injury, that pulled hamstring, man, the only thing that can cure it is time. And that's probably the worst injury you can have. That's worse than a broken bone or anything like that. But it's going to be hard for him to come back because it feels good, but then it just takes one wrong turn, and then there it goes again. So this might be a bad year for him.
Thank you for the call, Tino.
All right, thanks for letting me on, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah, Tino the Barber, one of our best callers. I think the hamstring with Marcus, that was last year. This is the
I think he kind of brought up a good point, though.
That I don't know anything about basketball?
Well, that's one. But I was going with the trash talk part. We don't like trash talkers, and one of us talks a lot.
Jared and the GM back up their trash talk.
Oh, okay.
I told you during the break, there are a lot of people that have said that they can do the things that Jared and the GM have done, and Jared and the GM have done it. You know, that is the one thing that there's many things I'm proud about this radio show for doing, but that is certainly one of the top of the trash talking elements. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't talk that much trash.
I mean, this guy's known you for a lot of years, obviously, and I'm just, you know, he made it sound like you might have talked a lot of trash at some point.
So there was
about a lot of coaches.
There was a basketball player at Louisville named Wayne Blackshear, and he was like a 5-star McDonald's All-American, supposed to be great, and he sucked. And every time there was a big game, he would stink. And so I kept calling him Big Game Wayne, and that was when I realized, like, 2 days ago, I was like, why do I keep calling Blaine Gabbert Big Game Blaine? I'm like, where does that come from? That was because I used to call Wayne Blackshear Big Game Wayne, and it just stuck with me. So that's why Big Game Blaine Gabbert is Big Game Blaine. And I still think they have a chance on Sunday against the Jags with Big Game Blaine, even though the GM is not having any of it. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the National Soccer Club. Listening Saturday is Nashville SC takes on the Charleston Battery at First Tennessee Park. Pregame coverage at 7:15, kickoff 7:30, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers and Great Clips. Coming up next, does Floyd think we need to slow the roll on what may be a reality for the Titans on Sunday? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Some things from Blaine Gabbert that make you say, hey, that guy was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, he made some good throws in a game and, you know, got rid of the ball. So it was good. I mean, it was great to see. I mean, we needed it. We needed that throw. We needed the boot. And we needed that third down conversion, a great pass on the third down conversion. Came out, we had great protection in the middle of the pocket. Tajay made a great catch, and so that was good to see. You know, and then Blaine made the boot, and so he made some throws for us that helped us win the game.
Big game Blaine Gabbert. And Vrabel seems to think very highly of him, Floyd Reese, but somebody doesn't think big game Blaine can beat the Jags.
I think it'd be really, really hard.
Floyd gives big game Blaine no chance. I am still torn on how I feel about this Jags game, and I may pick the Titans even with big game Blaine in there.
You won't pick the Titans.
I might.
If Joe Namath was a quarterback, you wouldn't pick the Titans.
Joe Namath statistically was not that great.
Okay, who do you like? Tom Brady.
I'd pick the Titans. Although Brady didn't beat him last week. But this goes back to my whole thing here. I think Gabbert can beat the Jags. And I think if you're Vrabel right now, you've moved, I don't say moved on from Marcus mentally, but I feel like if you're Vrabel, unless you know Marcus is going to start, you've got to be prepared for Blaine Gabbert to play the Jags. I think if you're Vrabel, it's like, okay, if Marcus goes out there and plays, it's a bonus because you can't count on Marcus to play in this game.
Well, what Vrabel does, in my opinion, that is different than a lot of young coaches, and he does a great job of, is that when somebody goes down for him, he's not pouting. You know, he's not, oh, woe is me. He's not, you don't sense any of that. There's not, the expectations don't drop one iota. We're still expected to go out and beat Jacksonville, their division opponent, somebody we have to beat, and that's our job. And I think he is outstanding at that, from what we've seen. You know, I'm judging more from last week than anything else. None of that bothered him, you know? I mean, he can play that, and you know it did bother him. I mean, you'd have to be brain dead to not have it affect you some way. But he doesn't portray that at all. I mean, he stands up there and he tells him, hey, it doesn't make any difference. You know, next guy, we got to go win, and that's our job, and let's go find a way, and here's how we're going to do it. I mean, I think I sense all the things that he does in preparation for a game like that, he really does well. They're well thought out, and I think he must do a good job of presenting them, because there was no doubt in my mind that last week they thought they could beat Houston.
Well, and I would say that adds to that. I think he earned a lot of credibility with all of that stuff, and then going out there and beating the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, when you spend all week like he did last week saying, you know, what if Taylor and Jack don't play? That's fine. That's Dennis doesn't play. That's why you have Pam Thiel and Merritts. And those guys are good players, and we expect them to step up, and we expect them to play. You know, that's our job as coaches, is to prepare those guys to play regardless of first, second, or third team. And then they go out there, and they beat J.J. Watt and the Texans. And you're like, okay, you know, I mean, there's something to that.
That's what he said.
That's why I still think they can win if Gabbert goes out there against Jacksonville. Because the key to the Texan game, he kept saying 40 rushes, no turnovers, 2 turnovers on them, and 17 points. Those were his key stat numbers of the Texan game. How many of those involved the quarterback?
Well, about the 17 points.
And that all they needed from the quarterback there was 3 drives, 2 field goals, and a touchdown on a screen pass.
Okay.
But how much, again, you know, it wasn't like any of that was quarterback specific. It wasn't like we need 200 passing yards. And I think they're going into the Jag game the same way, saying, okay, you're going to need to pick off Bortles 2 or 3 times. You're going to need to hold them to X amount of field goals. And absolutely no mistakes that cost you the game. Do you trust Blaine Gabbert to go to the Jags and make absolutely no mistakes that cost you the game? And I think the Texan game proves that Blaine is capable of that. Now, I'm not saying that Blaine is going to do that, because Blaine's history has told us, in terms of the absolute, you know, disastrous mistakes that cost you games, he is quite good at doing that. But last week showed us that he can go through a game and not do that. So I look at the Jag game and I think, you know what? If Blaine goes into that game and doesn't make a horrifically crazy bad mistake, you have a chance to win. And that's all you can ask for if he's your quarterback.
I mean, I would agree with all that.
Except you don't, think that you have a chance to win with
No.
Why not?
I mean, this team is better. This team that we're facing this week,
I know,
is a whole lot better than that team we were playing last week.
I know.
And we thought the one last week was pretty good. So this team.
Who's we?
Oh, you didn't like them?
No, I was never huge in the Texans. I thought Deshaun was overrated.
Number one draft choice.
No, did I not
Clemson,
say that on the air?
Absolute best.
I said last week he is overrated for all the hype.
Has he not loved Deshaun Watson his entire life?
I think Deshaun is going to be a great quarterback.
The
gonna
next Michael Jordan,
be,
as Dabo says, right?
Gonna be.
Yeah,
but Michael I don't Jordan. I don't think he is now. I said last week on the show, Deshaun Watson was currently overrated.
Flip-flop.
I can't flip-flop if I said it.
Windshield wipers. You ever watch your windshield wipers?
Oh, stop that.
I go, woof, 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 woof.
That's like you. My mom yesterday that told me, she was like, you know, I really like Floyd's laugh. I was like, Mom.
Driving me crazy.
I was like, Mom. But again, I agree with you. I think the Texans are not as good as the Jags. But still, if Blaine goes and plays mistake-free football, you have a chance.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he were to play mistake-free football, yeah, but it's going to be the same thing. He's going to gain 100 yards offense.
And you can win with that if Derrick Henry runs and if this one runs. And
yes, and if he can't.
Well, I didn't,
if they put 8 in a box and you were not able to run the ball, what are you going to do now?
Lose. So
that's where I think Marcus gives you a better chance.
I mean, I'm not saying Marcus doesn't give you a better chance. I'm just saying that I think you have a chance with Blaine. I do feel better if Marcus is healthy, but I don't know how much better because it's not like Marcus is lighting the world on fire. I mean, Marcus is, you know, even the stats that he had against the Jags last year weren't sexy. Now, he had some good plays, but nothing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the key in a game like this with Marcus, to me, and Blaine could do the same stuff, but you help yourself if you're Marcus because of the way that they know you can run. And that helps you in the pocket. That helps curtail some of that rush. If you are not able to run and they know that, now that rush becomes a wave because they don't care about you booting. They don't care about you getting outside. They don't care. Every one of those pass rushers, whoever they are, they're standing right in front of you.
Thursday means it's time for Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. So load up those phones. Going to X out of the current callers, X in. We got clear lines now. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And the best caller for Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. We'll get a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena Saturday, October 6th, and a $25 gift card to join us with Chris Sanders at Nashville Underground on Broadway this Sunday for the pregame show.
That would be worth a few laughs, huh? Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart? Yeah. Yes, at Bridgestone Arena. So caller 615-737-1025. The best question for Floyd and Ask the GM will win those Kevin Hart tickets. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. And that is next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.